The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled 2024 Essence Power 40. Here are 40 of the most influential power players in business, spanning corporate, entrepreneurship, music, technology, and media. As we unveil our annual list of the most significant Black movers and shakers in business, Essence honors those who are driving progress and inspiring change on every level, from local communities to the global stage. These individuals are redefining excellence in their respective fields and leaving an undeniable mark on our culture. Our compilation is a celebration of their bold ambition, deep sense of purpose, and transformative impact. We recognize the challenges they face and the barriers they're breaking, understanding that their success is hard won and profoundly meaningful. Join us in applauding these extraordinary leaders who are making a difference and shaping the future of business, presenting the 2024 Power 40. Trailblazer, advocate, public servant. If you were looking for words to describe Wes Moore, these would be listed next to his name. Having made history as the first Black governor of Maryland, he has a distinguished career in public service, business, and the military, bringing a deep commitment to equity and opportunity for all Marylanders. If you never forget what you're fighting for, Moore says, you will never stop fighting. Jasmine Crockett, a rising star in American politics, represents Texas' 30th Congressional District. She is known for her fierce advocacy on issues like voting rights, criminal justice reform, and economic equity. I serve at the pleasure of people that put me into position, but the seat will never be mine, says the Congresswoman. The seat belongs to the people. Nicole Austin Hillary is leading the change for Black political empowerment through the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, CBCF. With a background in civil rights advocacy and public policy, she has dedicated her career to advancing social justice and economic opportunity for Black Americans. I will continue to love the Black community, says Austin Hillary, and want the Black community to receive all the promises that were made to every American for equal opportunity. Jotaka Eady takes her love of Black women very seriously. The political hotshot founded #. Win with Black Women, a national movement amplifying our voices and impact across industries. I hope that people will look back and say that I did something positive with all that God gave me, says Eady. I understand that I have a calling in my life to do something to honor the legacy of leaders who came before me. Chances are, even if you don't know Tanya Lombard's name, you've been touched by her work. The phrase, lift as she climbs, is an appropriate descriptor, as she has played a critical role in building bridges between the public and private sectors. The incomparable Angela Davis once said, I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept, says Lombard. This philosophy empowers me. As the founder of Nation Strategies, Shaker Borges has leveraged his expertise in political and corporate strategy, specializing in advocacy, public policy, and industry partnerships. He is a major voice for businesses and policymakers looking to bridge economic and social divides. One of my core missions is to open doors for those coming up behind me, explains Shaka. I want to make sure they don't have to face the same challenges as I did in gaining access to these spaces. Please be aware that this next article includes topics and discussions about sex. The next article is titled, The Business of Sex, Sex Still Sells, and Black Entrepreneurs Are Cashing In. But there's more to these businesses than getting to the bag. They are creating safe spaces for pleasure too. From vibrators going viral to the rise of audio erotica platforms, the sexual wellness market is a booming multi-billion dollar industry. This makes sense, given that it's an activity most of us end up engaging in at one point or another. Catering to people's needs around sexual health is plain old good business. But for many Black entrepreneurs entering the space, it's not all dollar signs and dirty talk. A cultural shift in our perception of sex had to occur before these business owners could see their piece of the profits. It's a transition that Shamika Thorpe, PhD, a sexuality researcher and educator, says has been in motion since she began her work with Black women and girls in 2012, starting with how we view masturbation. I think as women get older, they realize they have been in relationships where the sex hasn't been pleasurable, she says, but they may have also been shunned for masturbating or are uncomfortable because there's so much sexual shame around that. Sex, shame, and respectability politics. Thorpe says that shame related to self-pleasure and sex in general comes from our attachment to respectability in and out of the bedroom. Whether this stems from religious beliefs or the fear of being labeled hypersexual or promiscuous, our desire to maintain a certain image has kept us from understanding and taking control of our sexual well-being. Candy Burris of Escape and Real Housewives of Atlanta fame spun her popular Candy Coated Nights show into Bedroom Candy, a sex and lifestyle brand, in 2011. But she was met with judgment within the industry. Some of the people that worked with me kept saying, oh, this is not going to be good for you, she recalls. Brands are not going to want to work with you if you have this sex company. While Burris did initially find herself excluded from opportunities because of her visibility in the sex space, she has no regrets. It's crazy that I have had the experience of not being looked at as acceptable in certain areas because of my having a sex brand, she says, but I'm glad I am a part of whatever has happened in the last decade to say, hey, No, it's okay for you to have these conversations. It's okay for you to explore. More than a decade later, what started as a discreet shop for sex toys has grown into a platform for overall wellness products and bedroom candy parties. More than 2,000 consultants across the U.S. host in-home events. When women come into these parties, it's all fun and games, Burris says, but sometimes the conversations become deeper and women say, hey, I really would love to talk to you about this. We have equipped consultants with so much education. They are really able to help people. Finding community through sexuality. As Black-owned sexual wellness business continue to find their footing, catering to communities that typically go underserved, specifically LGBTQ plus individuals, is proving to be a strong way in. Nina Joyner, founder of Feel More, a queer sex shop that's in the process of relocating from downtown Oakland to Atlanta, has been in the industry for over 14 years. They sold toys out of their car and in local bars before opening a brick and mortar location. You have to understand that there is a business to sex, but then there's also community to sex, Joyner says. Sex is now going from product to conversation because that's what people need before they make their decisions. I am never going to forget my why of being a young kid, not having access to that information in my community. I know there are other people who don't have access. Shop NB is another store with strong community ties. Maya Hayes, co-founder of the online space, says they realized queer and trans people had to hack the system by rigging existing toys to work for their bodies and preferences. We saw a lot of shops pop up that in theory would be for us, but then we didn't really see our queerness or transness or our blackness or Caribbeanness reflected in them. As Shop NB's online storefront filled a void in the market via non-gendered product descriptions, inclusive inventory, and the prioritizing of digital communication with customers, its owner found a way to create a link between being profitable and being of service. We receive lots of emails, Hayes says, people asking for recommendations or being like, I'm so glad you exist. I have this really burning sex ed question or sex toy question that I don't think I can ask anywhere else. My hope is that people will begin to feel like they can release shame. I think that can have benefits in other areas of your life. The future of the sex boom. The sexual wellness industry isn't going anywhere anytime soon, but to stay at the forefront, Black business owners have to find ways to be innovative. Henda has spent the past 2 years in product development for Wooji, her sexual wellness brand. She has held grassroots events in New York with her platform, ProHo. She hosts a podcast, The Goop Pursuit, Leaning into Pleasure, featuring Gwyneth Paltrow, and she wrote a sex column for Vice. She has seen the industry evolve and wants to push it further. I feel like AI and technology are moving at such a rapid speed, Penda says. So why shouldn't women's holistic health and sexual health and reproductive health also utilize those tools so that we are in a better position to understand our bodies and our well-being. She describes her upcoming toy as a Fit Clit instead of a Fitbit. It features advanced sensors that allow users to capture pelvic contractions, heart rate, and body temperature during masturbation. In other words, it's a smart sex toy. Penda admits that if she'd chosen to sell toys and rebrand them as her own, she could have made money faster and encountered fewer roadblocks. For example, she says VC fundraising hasn't been easy, but a quick payday was never her goal. I was just talking to a woman who is divorced, and she's a single mother, and she's like, my orgasms help me feel less stressed. She says, they help me be a better mother. They help me start my day off on a positive note so I can show up to work in a better capacity. I can show up for my kid because I feel relaxed. I feel like that's just such a beautiful way to talk about orgasms, pleasure, and sex. Some names have been changed for privacy. The next article is titled, This Political Strategist is Making Sure North Carolina Stays Raised Up. As VP of Political Strategy for Crooked Media, Shaniqua McClendon created the Vote Save America program, which has raised millions of dollars and mobilized thousands of voters around the country. Growing up poor in rural Granville County, North Carolina, Shaniqua McClendon knew she would need to make money to survive. But a college career at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill bookended by seeing the destruction caused by Hurricane Katrina during her freshman year and the election of President Barack Obama in her senior year forever altered her course. Hurricane Katrina was the first time I could really remember starting to understand the role that government plays in people's lives, McClendon says, and this was an instance when they were not playing a good role in the lives of Black people. I started to see that growing up poor was more so a set of decisions that people in elected office had made about what we would have access to and how the country and our world would work. We were a byproduct of that, and that's what got me interested in politics. I truly believe that policy is a way to improve people's lives. A White House internship during the Obama presidency, followed by a job offer with U.S. Senator Kay Hagan, propelled McClendon to leave home for Washington, D.C. She also served as a legislature director for Congresswoman Alma S. Adams. In that job, she led the charges to spearhead the creation of the inaugural Congressional Bipartisan HBCU Caucus. McClendon continued to garner accolades. She earned honors in graduate school at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government as the recipient of the Robert F. Kennedy Award for Excellence in Service. My capstone project was about how we get more pro-voter policies in North Carolina. McClendon explains, because North Carolina used to be a state that had voter policies encouraging people to vote, but after the Shelby County versus Holder decision, we saw North Carolina do a complete 180 and start being a voter suppression state. Her mission remained the same following graduation. She says, emphasizing an ongoing role she has for her work, North Carolina has always been a state where I've made sure that we are investing. Currently, McClendon is in her sixth year as vice president of political strategy for Crooked Media, where she created the Vote Save America program, raising in excess of $57 million and activating more than 600,000 voters, volunteers, and grassroots donors nationwide. Her approach leans toward finding a local organization to be a partner in this effort. They are here year-round as opposed to just focus on getting one person elected, she points out. It's going to be really rare that you agree with everything that one elected official or politician or candidate stands for. But if you work with an organization around an issue you care about, it's going to improve your whole community beyond just one person getting elected. Because if that person you help get elected through that organization disappoints you in a major way, you and the organization can work to replace them. She adds, it's a lot better to be tied to an organization that is there year-round and stay involved in the community versus only when it's time to elect a candidate. McClendon's passion for her home state is abundantly clear. North Carolina is a constant refrain. I always think it's an important state that we should be focused on. But this year, some other people agree with me. She wryly remarks, I have always made sure that if I was ever in a position to help North Carolina, I would. For a long time, I felt a tremendous amount of guilt about leaving home, a place I love and want more than anything to be better, McClendon continues. I could have stayed and put my talent to work there, but in the last few years, I've realized you don't have to be home to pour into the place you call home. My two jobs on Capitol Hill were working for North Carolina members of Congress, and in my current role, I've directed a lot of resources and attention to my home state, and I'll keep doing that. Moreover, McClendon remains committed to the cause of advancing the rights of Black women. Something that has become clear to me, she says, is that Black women are at the bottom in terms of privilege in this country. We are the only ones who seem to take our needs seriously and in a way that is working toward real change and improvement in our lives and not just scoring political points or performative allyship. Bottom line, we need to elect more Black women, she states. By having Black women in these spaces, we will see a lot more attention to the issues that impact us. After all, McClendon notes, Black women are always going to fight the hardest for everyone, not just people who look like them. As she looks back, McClendon recalls what her accomplishments have meant to her as a Black woman with an identifiably Black name. Even before the studies around name bias became pervasive, she was acutely aware of her good luck. I feel really fortunate that I haven't been burdened by a lot of the stereotypes associated with my name, she says. Of course, not everyone received the memo. On the campaign trail, former President Trump's ally, Laura Loomer, made a specific call out saying, I am talking about Kamala Harris, Letitia James, and Fannie Willis, all of the meritless DEI Shaniquas talk the same way. In response to Loomer's comments, McClendon reflects, I think about Kamala Harris running and the deliberateness with which people are mispronouncing her name or not even trying to make an effort to say her name correctly. McClendon believes these are subversive efforts to embed the stereotypes of Black women, particularly those with ethnic names, as unqualified and undeserving of accolades. There's no one named Shaniqua with political prominence for her to even bring that name into it, McClendon points out. There's just this cultural association with what the name Shaniqua means, and it's often been a punchline, not anymore. The next article is from Essence Contributors. Marty Bozer, a passionate journalist from Charlotte, North Carolina, Bozer loves to tell stories about resilience. Through her words, she illuminates the human experience, challenges our perspectives, and ignites conversations that resonate beyond headlines. In Black Women Are Ready to Rumble, Bowser tackles the subject of women of color in the world of wrestling. The Scribe defines her journalism as where culture meets content, as she spotlights the stories of people, places, and events that shape our world. Her byline has appeared in outlets such as the Miami Herald, Yahoo, Blavity, Ebony, and the Charlotte Observer. Kanya Awana, this Indonesian director and photographer, has been immersed in the worlds of dance, theater, and writing from an early age. Through her extensive training in the arts and a multi-hyphenated career. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I am Avery Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.